Have you ever considered taking your passion for Pilates, that unique blend of strength, flexibility, and mind-body connection to the next level?
Maybe even teaching it.
Exactly. Or perhaps you're just curious about what truly goes into becoming an instructor for a practice that's, well, all about mindful movement.
It's a big step people think about.
It is. And today we're diving deep into a question that we hear a lot. It echoes across the Pilates world. How do I best prepare for a Pilates instructor training program?
Yeah, that's a common one.
We're pulling insights from Beth, the founder of Trifecta Pilates, from her fantastic YouTube video transcript on this very topic.
She offers some really practical advice.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to, cut through any misconceptions and offer you a clear roadmap.
Transforming your personal Pilates journey into a solid foundation for a teaching mindset.
That's the goal, because it's a journey many people consider, but, well, often they approach it with a specific, sometimes kind of narrow idea of what preparation actually entails.
Yes. That idea of experiential learning immediately brings to mind a common assumption
Which is.
that it's all about memorizing facts. People often envision just endless hours with anatomy textbooks, maybe flashcards of
Right,
exercises.
trying to cram their brain full of theory before they even step into a studio to learn properly.
Exactly. And what's truly fascinating here is how often that theoretical focus overlooks the profound experiential component.
Okay.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Pilates is fundamentally a movement practice.
Right. You do it, you don't just read about it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
While intellectual understanding anatomy, class structure, cues is crucial, the actual teaching involves putting everything you learn into action. It's hands-on
Physically responsive.
and deeply personal.
Yeah.
Any well-rounded program will dedicate substantial time to practice teaching and observation.
Why is that so critical? The observation part.
Because understanding how a body moves in theory is very different from understanding how to guide someone else's body in motion in real time.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So it's not just about understanding the what, but really getting the how and why in a physical applied sense.
You got it. And this, right from the start, is the first crucial shift in perspective
Moving from being a student just doing Pilates.
to beginning to think like a potential teacher who will observe, analyze, and guide others. It's a beautiful transition, honestly, but it certainly requires a different kind of preparation.
Definitely a mindset shift.
Absolutely. And building on that, a core piece of advice, one that might sound, deceptively simple,
Go on.
is to consistently continue taking Pilates classes.
Okay, simple enough, but I suspect there's a catch.
Well, not a catch, but specific details that elevate this simple advice into incredibly powerful preparation for an instructor.
Let's hear them.
First off, building the physical conditioning for full-length classes.
Ah, okay. Because teaching sessions are usually what, 50, 60 minutes long?
Exactly. So if your current practice is maybe just 30 minutes, you need to gradually build up your physical stamina.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's not just about doing Pilates, it's about preparing your body for the demands of teaching it for an hour straight.
It's more than just stamina, too. It impacts your mental bandwidth.
How so? Tell me more about that.
Think of it this way. If your body is struggling through an hour-long session, your teacher brain can't fully engage. You're focused on just getting through it.
Right, you're not observing or thinking about cues as much.
Precisely. The true insight here is that physical preparedness isn't just about doing Pilates. It's about freeing up your mental energy to observe your future students, to think critically about modifications on the fly.
And to articulate precise cues without being distracted by your own fatigue. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So incrementally increasing your class length, maybe adding just 5 or 10 minutes at a time to your current 30-minute practice, gradually builds that endurance.
Yeah.
Get comfortable with 50, 60 minutes.
Got it. So duration is key. What about the variety of classes? Does it matter if someone only does mat or only reformer?
Oh, it absolutely matters. Your personal practice should strategically align with your training goals.
So if I want to teach mat,
Then focusing intensely on mat classes, maybe incorporating props like resistance bands or a magic circle, makes perfect sense. That's your focus.
but for comprehensive training.
If you're pursuing a comprehensive teacher training program, which typically covers a broad spectrum of equipment, you'll definitely want to actively take classes using all the standard studio apparatus.
Like the reformer Cadillac.
The chair, the barrel, yes.
Yeah.
Familiarity with these tools is invaluable.
Because trying to learn how to teach on something you've barely used yourself must be tough.
It adds an unnecessary layer of difficulty during an already intensive training. Definitely get comfortable with the equipment first.
Makes sense. Now, what about the format? The source mentions blending pre-recorded and real-time classes. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Pre-recorded videos offer fantastic flexibility, right? Practice on your schedule, pace yourself, repeat things.
Which is great for busy lives.
Totally. But the unique value of real-time sessions, whether they're live in person or online, is that dynamic interaction.
What do you mean by dynamic?
The instructor isn't just performing a routine, they're responding. They're adjusting the pace, the exercises, maybe the specific cues based on your movements or how the group is feeling that day.
That subtle feedback loop.
Exactly. That immediate responsive adaptation is something you simply can't capture fully from a pre-recorded class. It gives you an authentic glimpse into the art of teaching.
Seeing how an instructor problem solves and connects in the moment.
Precisely. It helps you start observing how a teacher adapts.
Okay. And speaking of different formats, the source also recommends blending group classes with private sessions. Privates are usually super personalized, right?
They are indeed. In a private session, the instructor can really zoom in just on your body, your movement patterns, your specific needs.
The exercises and cues are tailored just for you.
Exactly. While a good small group class offers some personal attention, it's amplified significantly one-on-one.
So this raises an important question. How can you leverage that deep, individualized attention from a private session?
Great question. Imagine you finally had an aha moment in a private session. Maybe the instructor helped you feel a specific muscle engage for the first time.
Okay.
The real magic is then consciously trying to recreate that feeling or apply that specific cue when you're back in a group class or practicing alone.
Ah, so you're like downloading that personalized insight.
Exactly. Making it your own, becoming an active learner in all contexts. You extract those lessons and consciously integrate them.
Turning every group class into a sort of personal lab, that's a really powerful way to accelerate understanding.
It really is. And this whole time while you're building this consistent, varied practice,
you're also cultivating something else.
Yes, that teaching mindset we talked about.
Right. It's the perfect opportunity to start layering on that critical teacher brain.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means you're not just moving anymore.
You're starting to think like a teacher. Shifting from simply doing the exercise to observing the nuances of how it's being taught.
That's the key. Start noticing the subtle choices an instructor makes.
Like, what specifically should people look out for?
Well, for example, why might they choose to teach the 100 with bent legs sometimes and straight legs at other times? Notice the reasoning if they explain it.
Okay. What else?
How is the breathing consistently applied across different exercises? Or when do they intentionally switch up the breathing pattern and maybe why?
The pacing too, right?
Absolutely, the pace of the class. And pay close attention to the specific cues being used. Are there ones you really appreciate? Cues that resonate and help you understand the movement better.
Could be a visual cue or a metaphor.
Or a specific body part they mentioned that instantly clicks for you.
I love that. Thinking about cues, the source gives a great example of the flashlight analogy for spine rotation.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Instead of just saying rotate the spine, it's like, imagine a flashlight on your chest. Inhale, rotate that flashlight to one side, shine it back to center, then really let it shine as you rotate the other way.
Yeah, it's so much more evocative. If that kind of analogy helps you feel the movement better.
And you should probably remember that one.
Precisely. Whether you jot it down in a journal or just kind of bookmark it in your brain,
yeah.
Identifying those effective cues is invaluable.
Because you're building your personal repertoire of teaching tools even before formal training begins.
Exactly. You're becoming an active participant in your own learning, even when you're technically still the student.
And as you do this, you'll naturally get more familiar with exercise names. The 100, roll up, roll over.
Leg circle, rolling back, sidekick series, teaser. Maybe boomerang. The list goes on.
But what if you hear those names and think, wait, I've never done a rollover, or I don't know, boomerang. Is that a problem?
Not at all. It's completely normal. The source makes it clear many people, even consistent practitioners, might not have encountered certain advanced moves like rollover, jackknife, or short spine.
Especially if their contemporary teacher didn't focus on them.
Right. And this raises an important question about progression. It's less about knowing every single advanced exercise.
And more about?
More about building a strong, consistent foundation. That's the real priority.
So you're saying don't sweat trying to perfect the super advanced stuff before training. Focus on the foundational work instead.
Exactly. A strong, consistent practice, especially focusing on free Pilates to level one, or what we might call the basic work, is your true springboard.
That's what lets you learn the harder stuff later in training.
Yes. You'll acquire a lot of knowledge during your program, and that solid foundation will support your understanding when intermediate and advanced exercises are introduced.
It's about challenging yourself intelligently, maybe.
That's a great way to put it. Finding variations that are beneficial without pushing beyond what serves your current learning stage. Foundation doesn't mean easy, but it's crucial for safe, effective progression.
Because it helps you understand the core principles before adding complexity.
Precisely. You need that understanding first.
That's a really important distinction. Now, as someone starts to narrow down their choices for a training program, the source suggests something very practical.
Yes, a really good idea. If you've done your research and identified a specific teacher trainer, or maybe a particular studio or school where you plan to enroll,
you should
start taking classes from them.
Okay. Get a feel for their specific style beforehand.
It sounds like taking classes with your chosen program's instructors offers more than just practical experience, though. What are the subtle benefits? Is it just familiarity or something deeper?
It's definitely something deeper than just familiarity, I think.
Yeah. When you take classes with your prospective trainers, you gain insight into their pedagogy, their teaching approach.
You get familiar with their specific style, their terminology.
Their unique exercise repertoire, maybe even their underlying philosophies. It provides a really solid understanding to build upon during the training itself.
So when new things come up in the course,
they won't feel completely alien. Instead, you'll have a frame of reference, like a Rosetta Stone, for their methods.
Which makes the new information much easier to integrate and understand.
Absolutely. It can significantly reduce that initial overwhelm and let you dive into the deeper learning faster.
That makes perfect sense. It really sets you up for success. Okay, and finally, there's one last absolutely crucial piece of advice for any aspiring teacher.
Yes. This is a vital mindset shift, one you truly need to embrace from day one.
Which is?
You need to ditch perfection.
Ditch perfection. Tell me more.
I strongly advise against trying to achieve perfection in your own personal practice before, during, or even after your training.
But that's so easy to fall into, isn't it? That trap of thinking you have to be flawless to teach. We all want to be good at what we do, especially if we're leading others.
It truly is easy to fall into. Mm. But the goal of training isn't flawless execution in your body.
Okay, so what is the goal then?
It's about learning what's most beneficial for you each day, sure. But crucially, it's about learning how to adjust the dial of intensity up or down for others. For your future students.
The modifications and variations.
Exactly. Your training program will teach you the base level exercises and, critically, how to modify them for different bodies, different needs, different levels, not how to execute them flawlessly yourself.
So you learn the foundation, then how to adapt it, maybe the 100 with bent legs or straight legs, or maybe a different pre-Pilates exercise altogether.
Yes. That ability to adapt and make the work beneficial for anyone who walks into your class, that's what teaching mastery is actually about.
Finding the right challenge for the right person at the right time.
You've got it. It's about becoming an intelligent guide, not a perfect performer.
That is a powerful shift in perspective. Okay, so to recap, whether you're dreaming of leading a class or just want a deeper understanding of this incredible method,
remember the subtle yet profound shifts we've explored today.
Moving beyond just personal workouts to cultivating that teaching mindset.
Embracing consistent, varied practice. Becoming an observer of great instruction.
Trusting the foundational work, aligning with your chosen program if possible.
And most importantly, ditching that idea of perfection.
That's a lot, but really helpful.
Indeed. And as you reflect on this deep dive, maybe consider this provocative thought.
Okay, let's hear it.
How might that principle of ditching perfection and embracing intelligent challenge in your Pilates practice, how might that translate to other areas of your life or your learning? What if the true mastery in Pilates or elsewhere lies not in flawless execution, but in understanding how to adapt and make something beneficial for any given moment, for any given person?
That's definitely food for thought, how adaptability might be the real skill.
Something to ponder.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into preparing for Pilates instructor training. We really hope it helps you on your journey.